Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and I'm back with another video. This is the Grim Articles Show with Dead Penetration.
What's up?
And first, before we talk about our sponsors and everything, hey, I got my YouTube channel completely fucking nuked, gone, everything, all those videos, complete fucking playthrough of Closed Game, complete fucking playthrough of, Sound of Drop. There's a lot of stuff. Almost all the Sekiro no Mori was on there. There's so much shit that just is gone. And
that
I mean, it's...
Why.
I violated their nudity, sexual content. Dude, there's so much fucking sexual content. Dick or dildo's on there. Yeah. And you know what they say? Sexually provocative. Dick or dildo is sexually provocative. It provokes sex. What is a dick and a dildo? What is a dildo used for?
So if I stuck a dick or a dildo in a girl's ass, would they...
I don't know.
Or would they call it sexually provocative?
Well, no, that's what they mean. Sexually provocative gets you banned. Nudity, pornography, sexually provocative content. Those are the three excuses.
Well,
the three excuses
I would say
they gave
dick or dildo is a little more than provocative.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said. Anything that's even provocative. Do you know the meaning of provocative? There's so much shit on YouTube that
YouTube's
is sexually provocative.
So lame. At really, the most it has going for it is, its search function.
Look, other
a lot of other ones don't do that well with the search function.
Well, yeah, I know.
Like you can type something in, it'll give you.
Yeah, there's a few open source. I'm sure Odyssey does real
Bit
good.
Shoot. You
Odyssey,
can find the person, but you have to scour
but
to find the one.
Odyssey seems to be the one everybody's going to, so I'm going to look more into Odyssey.
Yeah.
But I will say that even other hentai YouTubers, like, they're like, why did they get... They got you? They were surprised they got me. Because I was like, yeah, they got me. And they were really surprised, because those guys, you know, guys that have posted full games, like Bossquar, and no, there's people that have 20, Bossquar and the Weebathon have 22,000 fucking hits. They've demonetized him, so he had to open up a Patreon account, but he's got 22,000 fucking subscribers. There's a lot of people that have a lot of subscribers that are, you know, one guy's got 600. And he did all of rants, and he did it fucking edited. Well, he censored it, but I straight removed the sex scenes. He posted the sex scenes where he proceeded to read the sexually explicit dialogue. And I mean, you know what H scenes are. He thrust his penis into the vagina, you know, and she moaned and give me more, you know, stuff like that. Dude, that is sexually provocative, even if you're saying that, especially if it's a rape in the case of Rance. Like, that is surprising that I got fucking hit.
It's subjective who they decide to take off and who they keep up, because they leave some up there that are doing the exact same thing you're doing.
Yeah.
But they're probably a lot of times famous people or,
the Bossquar guy is a big following, but he said, because he literally has a message up on the top of his page that says, due to YouTube's recent, things, I have to now open up a Patreon, because I can't do my passion. His passion is to do the games. He likes to do what I like to do. And he said, well, they won't let, they fucking demonetized him, which means, oh, sure, you'll get hits and views. You won't get any money, though.
Yeah, but his is just edited, and yours were, but did you have nudity without the sex?
Even still nudes are okay. Still nudes are fine. I talked to a guy about that. Nudes are fine, but
have you seen the picture of the group of people that, select whether your video's worthy of being viewed?
I guess. I don't know.
They all look like the biggest SJW.
Well, yeah, I figured that, but what I'm saying is there's other people that have done worse than that.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're that opposed to... I mean, I don't know what it was, but basically, the only thing that they were really hitting me with was links. They didn't like me linking to my uncensored content, and they didn't like me linking to J-List, which I linked to. They got me for that, yeah. And they got me for linking to the uncensored content. And then that was it. But they did not want me to post my Starless Escape video. I'll tell you why, because I tried to post it again on my new account, Grimm's Etchy Corner, and basically they pulled it right after it uploaded. Like, it didn't even it barely finished processing, and they pulled it. That was the one that I think got me nuked. And that had, it didn't feature it, but it mentioned bestiality. A lot of bestiality.
Yeah.
So that's probably what got it nuked. I did post that on BitChute, and it's not on MGTOW.TV, but it is on BitChute. I said the video that got banned from YouTube, basically. So if people want to look at that and see just how crazy it was, they can look. And yes, I took all the crap out of it. I did. I went through frame by fucking frame to make sure that, you know, things would end at certain points so that you wouldn't see the sexually explicit CGs.
You had to rate it as adult content.
Yes.
To do.
Yes. Everything is rated as adult content.
See, I don't.
Everything
see what
is 18. Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Everything is 18 plus. Like, that one was definitely 18 plus. I had that 18 plus. Like, all right now, all my videos on Grimm's Etchy Corner, they're 18 plus.
I think if you put an 18 plus on it, you should be able to put almost whatever you want within reason on YouTube.
Absolutely.
I mean, they had it for years where you it had plenty of nudity. And, I even had figure drawing classes on there where you would, the model would pose,
mm-hmm.
and it would rotate 360 view, and you could draw live models.
Right. But see, it was, all this was 18. Everything was marked. If it was explicit, it was 18. If it was not explicit, it was not 18. Everything that was explicit. And, I mean, it was just, like, I knew if it was explicit or not. And it was pretty easy to tell. They didn't hit me for any of the content. They hit me for the links. They didn't like the links to the uncensored. And they did not like, again, I guess they didn't like that fucking video, even though they left it up there for days. Like, they literally left that video up there for days before they got rid of it. Somebody must have reported it. That's what I keep thinking. Somebody got offended and reported it, and they said, no, this is not cool.
But it shouldn't depend on one person's view. If they don't like it, don't watch it.
Right.
I mean, it's obvious. And you had adult content, so they knew there was something going on. If they were sensitive to watch, they shouldn't be watching it.
Absolutely. I mean, it just sucks all the way around, man. It sucks. But, yeah, we're still gonna promote our sponsor, SpinningRobotPussy.com. Thank you for hanging on. And, of course, SpinningRobotPussy.com/eyes for the Follow Me Eyes. And the Dragon's Treasure Tea. Definitely pick up the Dragon's Treasure. The Dragon's Treasure also has a YouTube channel where he does gaming. So check that out. He does some Dragon's Treasure gaming, if you're into that. So, I mean, there's a lot of... It just fucking sucks. But yeah, it would just happen, man. I just got home from work and your channel has been removed from YouTube. Like, what? It's not fucking pissed, yeah. And it took him a while to get an appeal. But as soon as they got me an appeal, or as soon as I got an appeal back, basically saying, no, fuck you. Yeah, that was it. It sucks, man.
Well, I've heard a couple of people complaining on there where they had so many followers that they were about to get a pretty good paycheck because they were still monetized.
Yeah.
And like the day before they were supposed to get paid, YouTube accidentally drops them.
Yep.
And they have to start a new page. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are definitely playing favorites on there.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
What's going to happen? They're going to run off all the good videos.
Yeah, they're trying to become cable. It sucks all the way around.
But best thing about YouTube at one time was it was...
No.
You know, individual.
Yeah, creativity. You could do anything on there. There was all kinds of cool shit. We remember the old days of YouTube. I remember the old days of YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, aside from that, we have to deal with the Biden economy.
Oh, it's fucking mental.
The prices of everything is starting to go up pretty high. Now, I will say that we got chicken in last night and it was fairly cheap. It was about $10 a pack. But before then, dude, they had raised the price of chicken.
Yeah.
I'm talking the frozen bags of Walmart chicken.
Just chicken breast. The
frozen bags, they were $22 a bag for the 10 pound and $12 for the 5 pound. Now, I think they've gone back down on a lot because we did get chicken in the next day. I know because I bought some and it was reasonably priced, but I don't know about the price of the steak, which was ungodly high when last looked at it.
Definitely what I want to say, it was like, it was enough where I said, fuck it, I won't be eating steak for a second, but I can't go without my steak.
And crab legs were 33. Yeah, crab legs are always high, but this time they were $33 a box.
I just don't justify crab legs costing as much, except they're so dangerous to catch, depending on which crab you fish for.
Right.
That's why they have the show Deadliest Catch, because snow crab apparently is very dangerous to fish for.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of people die. They get paid to fish for them. But, yeah, the more luxury an item is, the more it's going to cost.
Now, Kaiser Venom has some really interesting points here. He says, Invader, of course, he says, just look up Naked Yoga on YouTube. You'll see plenty of nudity, which is true. Kaiser says, agreed. Grimm was small enough to go unnoticed, and then his channel is gone. It had to be targeted. As usual, it happens against MGTOW channels, which is true. It was a Red Pill channel, and maybe they just targeted me for that. That's very, very possible.
Yeah. Oh, Naked Yoga. I do like a Naked Yoga. But, what... Yeah, like gas, it's doubled for me to fill up what, you know, during the Trump administration toward the end of it was costing me about $14 to fully fill up. Now it's costing like $30 to fill up, so it's over doubled, you know, when he first got elected, it went up to about 15 to fill up for like a very short period of time. Then it shot up and just kept going up. So, yeah.
Okay, now now we'll get onto the articles here. Winter has an article from Natural News. Oh, well, hold on. Hoshioni has some articles. I'll go with his first. I forgot. Didn't get to his. They're not that old. January 5th. That's not too long ago. Oh, by the way, rest in peace, Bob Saget, who more or less died because of the fucking jab he was all boasting about. Just a couple, you know, like on I think it was December the 13th.
Proof that's what it is, or do you just...
Probably fucking what happened, because he was all boasting about it.
So many people are, and I know Betty White was 99. That was probably natural.
He was
causes,
65, but, and he was boasting about having the booster.
Fairly young to be just dropping dead, and I don't think he was still on drugs.
No. He was boasting about the booster on a podcast he did on December the 13th. And then he just dies a couple of weeks after. Man.
Well, it what they say is it's causing enlarged heart.
Yep. Myocarditis, yeah, not to mention infertility.
Yeah.
Infertility is well, the one thing we're not...
Does it matter if you can choose
No, no, we're not talking about that. That's maybe it doesn't kill you, but maybe it makes it so you can't have fucking kids. Well, that's a problem.
That you know, and also women. Pfizer bought out a company that specializes in medicine for myocarditis and bought it double the stock price.
Now, also, no, but you're not talking about the infertility thing is very, very important because maybe you don't die.
Important.
No, no, no. Maybe you don't die, but this is a problem with women. Women are becoming infertile because of the vaccine. Drexel was talking about this on his health episode. This is a big fucking deal. Women are trying to say they didn't get the vaccine, so they're lying to men. So and the men are like, and yeah, and this happened to a man. And the man, because then after, like, he pulled a thing, and she said, no, 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 I did get vaxxed. And he said, he walked away. And he said, the reason why I walked away is because if I can't trust her with that, how can I trust her with anything else?
Yeah.
Exactly, right? Like, you can't trust her to say...
It's such a simple thing. Which, I mean, to them, the people getting vaxxed, it is a bigger deal to them than it... Like, I don't care if someone decides to get vaxxed. Like, I would prefer my friends didn't just because...
Yeah.
I've been hearing secondhand proof of people dying from it. Not just
first
through the news.
Yeah, I value that.
But, yeah, it's definitely anybody's choice. I don't care.
Okay, now let's go ahead and talk about our articles. Biden played a big role in promoting convicted fraudster Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. Oh, I remember this.
Yeah.
The then Vice President Joe Biden played a key role in helping further the billion-dollar con job perpetuated by Elizabeth Holmes, lavishing the disgraced Theranos founder with praise in 2015. Holmes, whose company falsely claimed to be able to conduct wide-ranging and revolutionary life-saving tests using only tiny drops of blood, was found guilty on Monday on one federal charge of conspiracy to defraud investors and three counts of wire fraud. She faces up to 20 years in prison per count. She needs to face all of them.
She needs
20, 40, 60.
That. She needs manslaughter, too. Because,
Holmes. Now,
she was basically what it is you do a blood sample, you give it to CVS, they'd run it through the machine that she said she created, and it would tell you if you had cancer.
All your
predispositions, what was healthier for you to ingest in your body, what wasn't healthier. And so it was giving people that were terminally ill with cancer clear bills of health.
Oh,
and it was giving people that were clean, clear bills of health things that they had terminal cancer.
Oh,
they only had so many months to live. And so it was really and you know, so I'm sure there was some suicide probably, or people think they're gonna die
right
in a couple of months. And plus she got pregnant right before the trial started, so it, and people say it's definitely for sympathy when being judged.
Holmes, now 37, and her longtime business partner Ramesh Sunny Balwani were indicted in June 2018 for two counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and nine counts of wire fraud. The jury for Holmes did not reach a verdict on three of the wire fraud charges and found her not guilty of a conspiracy to defraud patients and not guilty on three of the other wire fraud charges. Another count against Holmes was dropped. Balwani's trial is scheduled to begin later this month. Theranos touted Biden's July 23, 2015 visit to its headquarters in a lengthy press release, calling it a new era of preemptive health care summit. Both the company and Biden repeatedly posted on Twitter about the event. Talk about being inspired, Biden said at the time, though he turned down the chance to have his blood drawn. This is inspiration. It's amazing to me, Elizabeth, what you've been able to do. Biden praised Theranos for charging historically low prices and making its supposedly game-changing diagnostic tools available to all. An audio recording showed Holmes returning the flattery. "It's an absolute privilege and tremendous honor to have Vice President Biden here with us," she said in her opening remarks. "He is someone I deeply respect and inspired by the context of his service to our country and the bold actions he has taken in service to our country throughout his career." Theranos said Biden joined Holmes on a tour of its laboratory manufacturing facility, seeing Theranos' finger stick tests and innovative test system, and meeting many of the company's employees. Much of what he saw was a sham. The valuation of Theranos was pegged at as high as $9 billion in 2014, and since she owned 50% of the company, her net worth was as high as $4.5 billion, at least on paper. Theranos' sham unraveled publicly just a few months after Biden's visit when an investigation by the Wall Street Journal's John Carreyrou, whatever the fuck that guy's name is, revealed that Theranos was misleading about its blood test technology and that the company was doing the vast majority of its tests with existing technology. Biden's praise for Holmes and her crooked company have not aged well. In his visit, Biden talked about his own aneurysm and his late son Beau Biden's brain cancer as he praised Theranos. Yeah, and of course, there's more. Biden said he met Holmes a year prior when he'd spoken at a conference and a Theranos founder had been sat next to him saying, "I've been threatening Elizabeth for the last year that I'm going to come and see the operation and be shown around." You get the sense that the whole medical complex and industry is on the cusp of some fundamental change that goes far beyond what encompasses what you're doing here, Biden told Holmes. Biden made it clear that then-President Barack Obama was supportive of Theranos, too. "You know, the president and I, as I hope we've demonstrated, led by the president, share your vision of a new healthcare paradigm focused on preventive care," Biden said. Theranos highlighted that Biden said supported the company regarding its dealings with the Food and Drug Administration when he said, "The fact that you're voluntarily submitting all your tests to the FDA demonstrates your confidence in what you're doing." Biden wasn't the only high-profile person to get conned. Theranos board members include former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State George Shultz, former Defense Secretary William Perry, former Democratic Senator Sam Nunn, former Republican Senator Bill Frist, and former Trump Defense Secretary James Mattis. A few days after Biden's visit, the Obama White House's YouTube channel posted a video of Holmes with a description saying she spoke about her signature initiative on empowering women in science, technology, mathematics, and business. Holmes had been invited to a White House state dinner honoring Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe in April 2015, with the event attended by the Obamas, the Bidens, and others. Obama named Holmes a presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship in May 2015 and honored her and eight other new fellow page honorees at a global entrepreneurship event on May 11th. The Theranos founder was a staunch ally of the Clinton family as well, appearing at multiple Clinton Foundation events on stage with former President Bill Clinton and campaigning with Chelsea Clinton at March 2016 fundraiser. Okay, now we got another company. We got another one here. From CNBC, KFC to launch plant-based fried chicken made with Beyond Meat nationwide. KFC restaurants nationwide will add Beyond Meat's plant-based chicken to its menu starting Monday for a limited time. The launch comes after years of testing from the Yum Brands chain and Beyond Meat to create a meat substitute that mimicked the taste and texture of whole muscle chicken like chicken breasts rather than the ground-up consistency of nuggets. The two companies first tested plant-based chicken at an Atlanta restaurant in August 2019 and sold out their limited supply in less than 5 hours. KFC then tested their new item in Nashville, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Southern California 2 years ago. The popular fried chicken chain is counting on customers making healthier choices to fulfill typical New Year's resolutions. "This is really about where the customer is going. They want to eat more plant-based protein," said Kevin Hochman, U.S. President of KFC. "It's January, so it's a time of New Year's resolutions and wanting to do something different in your diet." More Americans are embracing a so-called flexitarian diet in which consumers cut down on their meat consumption for health and environmental reasons. That has driven the growing popularity of plant-based substitutes. "From a supply perspective, we feel really good about it, and it's something we have experience with in initial trials," said Beyond Meat CEO Ethan Brown. Hochman and Brown are so bullish on the product that they're not determined They're not deterred by the current nationwide surge in the COVID Omicron variant. The partnership hits at a time of national labor crunch, with many eateries running short-staffed. To run smoothly with even fewer workers, some chains have been reluctant to add new items or even scale back their menus. Surges in new cases exacerbate those issues as workers call in sick due to positive tests or exposure to infection. Nearly a year ago, Beyond Meat announced a former partnership with Yum to make exclusive plant-based substitutes for Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and KFC. Chipotle Mexican Grill rolled out plant-based chorizo Monday at its restaurants nationwide. It is also targeting customers who are trying to eat less meat in 2022. Hold on now. Let's see. Ramping up for launches and preparing for launches to come in the new year. Beyond Meat poached industry veterans from Tyson Foods for its C-suite in December, adding Doug Ramsey of Chief Operating Officer and Bernie Adcock a new role of Chief Supply Chain Officer. Ramsey spent 3 decades at Tyson overseeing his poultry and McDonald's businesses. Adcock also spent 30 years at Tyson with a focus on operations supply chain management. We're continuing to grow the operations team. They did a lot of work to help the team get ready in these final days, Brown said, adding the Yum tie-up has been years in the making. They've helped us prepare for this, and we brought in, I think, some of the top executives in the industry. Beyond Meat is looking to get its stock back on track. In the last 12 months, shares have lost half their value, dragging the company's market value down to $3.9 billion. The stock closed Tuesday down 5% at $61.62, and short sellers betting against the stock represent 37.2% of available shares, according to FactSet. On the other hand, shares of Yum have climbed 30% in the last year, bringing its market value to $40.3 billion. Strong demand for KFC's fried chicken has helped lift the price. The chain's U.S. Same-store sales jumped 13% on a two-year basis during its third quarter. The partnership does provide an opportunity, however, for Beyond Restaurant sales. The company is hoping to attract more customers to its grocery store products, which sold briskly early in the pandemic, but then saw declines in subsequent quarters. It has great synergies with what we were trying to do in retail, Brown said. To promote the new item, YouTube star Lisa Koshy will star in the plant-based chickens ad campaign in the latest partnership between fast food chains and influencers. Nothing like a pretty girl to sell some plant-based fucking chicken. However, KFC will not be targeting vegans and vegetarians directly with the marketing because Beyond Fried Chicken is made using the same equipment as KFC's traditional fried chicken. So they won't eat it anyway. Yeah. Customers can buy KFC's Beyond Fried Chicken in 6 or 12-piece orders and with dipping sauce included. Prices start at $6.99, excluding tax.
Oh, no. Here's the thing about plant-based anything. You know, they were finding out with the plant-based burgers at Burger King, they're causing more health problems than eating regular cow. And a lot of it's because they had to pump it so full of preservatives and seasoning that it crosses out any kind of health effect that you'd be getting with the plant-based. Plus, if you're a guy, a lot of that stuff produces estrogen because a lot of it's soy-based. And, yeah, a guy does not need a lot of estrogen pumping through their body. That makes man tits, beer belly, all kinds of things. Probably bitch hips.
Right.
Bad case of bitch hips. You don't need that.
What in the world? They sent me an article about Japanese sumo wrestlers. Meet the women changing the face of the sport. Nagoya? I'm not going to read this whole thing because it's long as fuck. Nagoya, Japan. With a steely look, Sena Kajiwara charges headlong into her opponent. The two preteen girls grapple for a dozen seconds before Kajiwara ousts her rival from the ring. At the sumo tournament, no loincloth-clad men are competing for the title of grand champion. Instead, girls aged between 8 and 12 are going head-to-head and step-by-step, changing the future of Japan's male-dominated national sport. Some people are surprised and even shocked when they find out I do sumo. They tend to think sumo is just for boys and men, she told CNN Sports. I think if we get more girls and women in sumo, then we'll be able to level the playing field and make a living from sumo. I hope that happens, she adds. A soft-spoken but spectacled 12-year-old, Kajiwara started practicing sumo alongside judo 4 years ago as a defining champion of an inaugural national tournament held for girls in 2019. She's determined to keep her title and go as far as she can with the sport. There are some people who don't get why I do sumo, but I'm not bothered by what they think. If you want to do sumo, you should do it, she said. But for women, that's easier said than done. Professional sumo still excludes women from competition and ceremonies, and in recent years, several scandals have furnished the sport's reputation. Furor erupted in 2018 when female medics trying to help a collapsed mayor were ordered out of the sumo ring in the Kyoto prefecture. Many read the incident as a reflection of the treatment of women in patriarchal Japan, which is ranked 120 out of 156 countries in the World Economic Forum's latest Global Gender Gap Index. Fuck the World Economic Forum. You know what the World Economic Forum stands for, right? The Great Reset. Yes, the World Economic Forum is behind the whole Great Reset.
Don't need that.
No, we don't fucking need that. So it's just bullshit they're trying to push on us. Anyway, let's go on to something else here. Okay, here we go. Natural news. Life insurance companies sound death alert warnings over nearly 100,000 excess deaths per month happening right now in the United States. There are nearly 100,000 excess deaths happening per month in the USA right now, according to life insurance companies that are sounding the alarm over what Dr. Robert Malone calls a mass casualty event that's unfolding due to COVID vaccines. This is a red alert situation unfolding right in front of us. The human race is being slaughtered through the injection of clot shots that are deliberately designed to reduce global population through death and infertility. All of the politicians, scientists, regulators, and journalists who are in on this are committing genocidal crimes against humanity, and they're even targeting children. An article published by the Center Square of Indiana reveals how Scott Davison, CEO of One America, a life insurance company, is sounding the alarm over a 40% increase in total deaths among Americans ages 18 to 64. These are working-aged Americans. We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business. Not just at One America, the company's CEO, Scott Davidson, said during an online news conference this week. The data is consistent across every player in that business. Davidson said the increase in deaths represents huge, huge numbers, and that it's not elderly people who are dying, but primarily working-age people 18 to 64 who are the employees of companies that have group life insurance plans through One America. And what we saw just in the third quarter, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter, as the death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic, he said. Just to give you an idea of how bad that is, a 3 Sigma or a 200 or a 1 in 200 year catastrophe would be 10% increase over the pre-pandemic, he said. So 40% is just unheard of. Yeah. This is extremely, extremely long. Hold on. Okay, I'll do this, but we're gonna do it quickly. Do the math. Here's how we get to nearly 100,000 excess deaths per month in America right now. According to IndexMundi.com, there are normally about 7,755 deaths per day in the USA pre-COVID. The 40% increase in mortality now being seen by life insurance companies if applied across all age groups would mean an additional 3,100 deaths per day. Multiply that by 30 days and you get over 93,000 excess deaths per month in the United States. Remember, this is based on third quarter data from 2020, yet we know that vaccines cause immune system failure to worsen over time. This means fourth quarter data will be even worse, and the quarter one 2022 data will be likely worse still. In addition, we have cancer deaths starting to skyrocket due to spike protein interference with chromosomal damage repair mechanisms, which is why I'm predicting we will see over 1 million cancer deaths in calendar 2022, which is roughly a doubling of the usual cancer death statistics. Given these accelerating factors, falling immunity, accelerated cancer tumor growth, and the addition of yet more booster shots, there's no question that 2022 is going to see an extra 1 million deaths in the USA, and perhaps many more. It could be 1.5 million or even 2 million. If the booster shots are aggressively pushed and we see antibody-dependent enhancement accelerate as common flu strains are circulated, We could be looking at a doubling of the death rate, going from 7,700 daily deaths to 15,400 deaths per day. This means we'd be losing nearly 1.7% of the entire U.S. population in 1 year. That's the sum of normal deaths plus the extrapolation of excess COVID vaccine deaths. This is all happening because COVID vaccines are really depopulation bioweapons. Dr. Robert Malone has noted the signals and has sent a new warning to the world in an article. I'm not going to read this whole fucking article. This is a mass casualty event, and the vaccine pushers are doing it deliberately. The upshot of all this is that COVID vaccines are creating a mass casualty event. Worse yet, it's all deliberate. All the tyrants and genocidal maniacs pushing these vaccines are carrying out an actual vaccine holocaust that will likely kill between 1 to 2 billion people worldwide over the next decade, even if the clot shots are stopped right now. They're doing it on purpose. Big tech, big pharma, big media, big government are all conspiring to achieve a planetary-scale ethnic cleansing campaign involving mass suffering and death across human civilization. You are literally living through a global holocaust disguised as a vaccine campaign. The needle is the weapon delivery system, and the weapons are mRNA payloads.
Makes sense.
Okay. So there's your black pill. Okay, now. Next. Let's see here. Actually, give me a second to get a bottle of water. I will be right back.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Gotta get a bottle of water.
You know.
This will work just fine.
I don't know. It seems like besides Trump... We haven't had a lot of government that's just been in it to help us.
Okay.
As long as we don't have those mean tweets out there, you know.
Okay, well, we've got one from Daily Mail. Repeat child rapists will be sent to penal colonies in the Arctic for life under new proposals in Russia following horrific kidnap, rape, and murder of girl 5. Russia is to toughen its child sex laws this month to automatically jail repeat pedophiles for life in harsh polar prisons. Monsters who sexually abuse children should serve their sentences in hard labor penal colonies in the Arctic, or they could be forced to work in Siberian mines, the country's parliamentary speaker said.
Yeah.
The new legislation is being pushed through after a horrific case this week of a girl 5 who was abducted by a recidivist pedophile and his lover and then raped and stabbed to death. Veronika Nikolaeva had been playing near her mother's workplace in Kostroma, and a video showed how she was snatched before being abused. The helpless girl struggled and fought back, but passersby did not pay attention to her distress, and the men took her to their hostel. Her corpse was later found in a duffel bag as the suspects named Denis Gerasimov, 44, and Vadim Belyakov, 24, planned to dispose of her body. Yep. That is pretty fucking crazy.
I mean, honestly, death would be, but sometimes death's too easy for some of these people. Like,
well, that's why they're putting them in
the Arctic. That sounds like hell on earth.
Both men confessed on video to her murder. Parliamentary Speaker Vyacheslav Volodin, a close ally of Vladimir Putin, said the terrible tragedy of Veronica's abuse and death showed the urgency of toughening laws. One of the detained men turned out to be a formerly convicted pedophile, he said. Let's do everything for the law on life sentences for pedophiles to be adopted in January. He backed calls for even tougher measures by sending all pedophiles to polar regions to serve their sentence. Those convicted for such crimes should serve life sentences in the harshest conditions, in the extreme north of Russia or in mines. These bastards should undergo the hardest labor so they remember the crimes they committed every day and regret them. They cannot be called human, he said. Yep. Alexander Kinstein, an influential MP in the main pro-Putin United Russia Party, said, "It is necessary to adopt our bill on life punishment for pedophile rapists as soon as possible. All sex attackers released from jail should wear electronic tags," he said. Maria Lova-Belova, Putin's commissioner for children's rights, warned that sex attacks on children and adolescents have risen 79% in the past 8 years. In this week's case, Gerasimov had been released from a sex crime conviction in March. As the girl's body was removed from the suspect's hostel, a mob of locals demanded to be allowed to lynch the suspects. The suspects are understood to have been in a long-term relationship since the younger man was underage. The men told interrogators that the crime was spontaneous, it was reported. The younger one suggested that his partner catch the girl and make fun of her. The video shows one suspect carrying the kidnapped girl down snowy streets while the other walks alongside.
Well, you know, even if they don't kill the kid, they should still get life, because once you've molested a kid, their life is over. They're never going to get over it.
When police raided the room shared by the suspects in the hostel, they found the girl's body hidden in a duffel bag, say law enforcement sources. The girl had been raped before she was killed. Local news said that as soon as the information was made public, a mob formed. Immediately after information about the detention of the suspects appeared, local residents gathered by the hostel where the child's body was found, reported 112 news outlet. They demanded the suspected murderers should be handed over and wanted to lynch them. A video shows the girl's body being carried into a police vehicle. Social media posts said this case shows again that the surveillance system for pedophiles does not work and gives them the opportunity to commit crimes again. Now, there is one thing I do have to say here. Actually, no, you're wrong. They do get over it. However, it comes at a price, because I have a friend that actually, and she will, here's what she had to say. She said, my youngest, after what she's been through, is on sertraline. They have her. She's 15 years old on 75 milligrams, and she still has to have a second medication, atomoxetine, 40 milligrams, to even come close to being level. So, yes. Basically, these girls were, we know they were molested, and worse than molested, I mean, you know what happened. But these girls, yeah, they're never going to be normal. They're always going to have to be on anxiety medication. But yes, they will eventually, like, it,
well, I mean, yeah, if that's your idea of normal.
Well, I mean,
for most people, that's not normal.
Well, it's not normal, but I'm saying, you know,
as close to it as they'll ever get.
Yeah, so that's they're going to get, right.
Yeah. But still not normal.
Well, yeah, in a way. I mean, they manage, is what I'm saying. They manage.
I mean,
there have been, there's people that survive it. I mean, you'll still get, there's people that, you know,
some people become stronger, some
people
break.
Yeah, some
but
break.
They shouldn't ever have to.
Well, yeah, it should never have to happen.
To become stronger or
yeah, break. It should never ever happen, right. You know, like, I mean, I just found out another, my friend's brother, apparently, was a friend of mine, but not. Now, I'm going to probably steer clear from him. But basically, this is how it went. Basically, I got a phone call. They said that the girl went and told her parents that he had said some things to her and done some things to her when she was 6 years old, and she remembers it. And children don't lie about things like that, especially using the terminology that she used to the parents. That's one thing that Ken has talked about. Children don't lie. And you should never, ever, according to what Ken says, treat it as a joke or anything. When a child says a child was abused, you should always take it as 100%.
Yeah.
Because a child has no right, no reason to lie about something like that.
Well, I mean, you
never
should take it serious.
You have to take it serious.
I mean,
and this is out of your wheelhouse. I'm talking about somebody that has.
I mean, it ain't in yours.
No, it. Yes, but I am talking. I'm giving you the opinion of a man who does know, and what he told me. I'm basically telling you what he said, and what he said is that you should always trust the child, always.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what he used to do. He was a child therapist. So obviously there are a lot of children that have come in with these accusations. And, I mean, you have to trust a child. That's one of the things they're taught. So it doesn't matter. That's one thing I think Ken will say 100%, or I know Ken will say 100%. It's like, always trust a child. If a child comes in and says something happened to them, you've got to look into it. You can't, oh no, I mean, the child has no reason to make up anything like that. There's no reason to do anything like that. Especially at that young of an age.
Oh, at a young age. Yes. Most definitely.
Especially at that young of an age. The kid is only like 8 or 9 years old now. I'm talking about something happening with 6. So, yeah. Let's go into the next one. I would say disable.
My balls beeped.
Disable that if you can. Full-time wife. I get up at 6 a.m. to make my hubby breakfast and clean. If women looked after their men like me, they wouldn't get... What? Hold on. All right, this is from The Sun, since you were, you know. Okay. Full-time wife. I get up at 6 in the morning to make my hubby breakfast and clean. If women looked over after their men like me, they wouldn't get divorced. She says, waking up at 6 in the morning, Bronte Rawlingson, rushes to the kitchen to whip up her husband's favorite breakfast before a day of cleaning and looking after their children. While the rest of the nation returns to their workplaces in droves, Bronte isn't going anywhere. Dropping out of private school for love and then choosing to become a teen mom at 19, she is a self-confessed traditional wife and has no interest in having a career. The 29-year-old is married to Phil, 35, a plumbing business owner, and says staying home and being feminine helps their marriage flourish. She adds, I believe one of the reasons there are so many failed marriages is that women don't behave in the way men want. Right, but I don't know if I can believe her. Like this sounds too good to be true.
Now, this month of Duh Magazine, of course, if you act feminine, you guys going to want to stick around. But I will put it this way. What she's doing is give and take, which is a relationship. You give a little, you get a little. Or usually get more. Like, any girl I've dated that's done something nice for me, not just obligation, but I want to do something nice for her back.
Right.
And if I can outdo her, I'll do that.
And, okay, she goes on to say, I know my husband likes to be looked after and for me to be feminine so he can be masculine. We balance each other out. After preparing Phil's breakfast in their home in Frinton, Essex, Bronte makes sure their children, Amelia 9, Fenella 6, and Theodore 18 months are fed. Sometimes it's scrambled eggs, sometimes it's an omelet. For Phil, she says, I like to feed him properly, make sure he's full until at least lunchtime. He can't be powered just by toast. The older two children are fussy eaters, so it's never just something easy like cereal. It can mean sorting out a variety of different meals like brioche and Marmite toast, pancakes, and smoothies to make sure they are all happy. But I'm willing to do it. It's my job as a mum. Despite going to an expensive private school in Ipswich, and getting 12 GCSEs, including 1A, 4As, 5Bs, and 2Cs, Bronte did not want a higher earning career. Instead, she purposely fell pregnant at age 19, having moved in with Phil, as she met at the beach when she was 16. Her decision to become a teen mother stunned many of her school friends, who now hold down big careers as lawyers and doctors. Bronte says it certainly caused ructions. No one expected me to be a teen mom. It wasn't a done thing, but it was my choice. I always wanted to be a mother and wife ever since I was a little girl. I used to dream of it when I was playing with my dolls. It broke my heart putting them into storage when I was about 12, but I felt being in secondary school I was too old to play with them. But being a mom was not all plain sailing because Bronte's parents were disappointed with her. She says, I can't lie, relations with my parents were tense for some time afterwards. They wanted me to go to university. But now we are in good place and they dote on the children. Millions of Brits returned to their places of work for the first time earlier this month, having worked home from home throughout the pandemic. But Bronte is glad she was not one of them and believes women cannot have it all. She's perfectly happy staying at home while Phil earns the money. Bronte cleans all day, dusting, tidying, and putting away toys before going to bed at around 11. She says, I'm trying to fit some time in just for me, but it's tough. and I love homemaking. It's my favorite thing to do. I clean the bathroom and kitchen twice a day. Phil has a beard and the girl's a guinea pig, so it can get messy. Bronte even admits she could not relax on a recent family holiday to Somerset because the tidying was not to her precise standards. She also worries the school national curriculum does not focus enough on law subjects, sewing, knitting, and cooking, which she teaches her children at home. Bronte believes everyone can make their own lifestyle choices, but she only ever wanted a traditional 50s style role. She says, my parents paid a lot of money for me to go to private school with the assumption I'd go to university, but I was adamant that I just wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I moved in with Phil when I was 17, and by 19 I had Amelia. She was planned. Being a mom was all I could think about. Something was missing until I had her. Bronte had quit studying A-levels in math, biology, and chemistry, and IT. After a few months, argues that people who belittle young moms are foolish because bringing up children is incredibly hard work. She says, years ago, if you hadn't had a baby when you were 20, you were considered to be a spinster. But now it is the reverse. It takes a very intelligent person to bring up children. I wouldn't consider a career that took me away from my family. There's so many people relying on nannies, but I want to be there for my children. I have really high standards. I would not be able to split myself in so many ways and also be there for the children. People say I am wasting myself, especially because I went to private school. But I simply take a relaxed approach to education. I don't think university is the most important thing. Anti-feminist. Bronte admits that she can sometimes feel anti-feminist. She says there's so much pressure on women to saturate the male environments that traditional femininity can be completely discredited and undervalued. It is mostly considered wasteful of an educated woman's life to just be a housewife. It's almost as if homemaking is only an appropriate occupation for a woman who has little intellect or prospects. Actress Emma Watson once said, feminism is not a stick with which to beat each other. So often, feminism seems to invoke a shame of being too traditionally feminine, whereas it should be a celebration of female choice. So here I am, a privately educated and strong-minded woman who is choosing to live the life of a traditional housewife, and I couldn't be happier with it.
I mean, if she's happy, that's great, but
I
would say I see where her parents are coming from too, because they wanted her to get her experience.
Yeah, but who? No, but that's the problem. You're supposed to have your kids first and then do your other stuff later. That's how you're supposed to do it. Yes, that's how it was set up. You're supposed to have your kids.
Who set it up?
The regular biology states that if you don't have a kid by a certain time, you can have problems in pregnancy.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're supposed to have your kids fairly young. You're supposed to have your family first, raise your kids, and then when you get into your 30s and stuff like that, your 40s, then you can start pursuing your career. A lot of people go back to school at that age. A lot of people pursue business at that age. My grandmother did that. My grandmother took care of all kinds of kids, and then she went back.
Yeah.
After she left the military, she was in the military. Then she left to become the mother of eight kids. And then after that, what did she do? She went to do a business. She ran a bookstore. That's what she wanted to do.
That's nice.
So yeah, that was her thing. And she did that later. And she had all those kids. And then they had these great big family dinners and everybody to take care of and somebody to manage your finances. And there's all kinds of people with different things, you know, that can help out. That's why you have these big families.
I can't remember. Because everybody works together. Oh, that's who it was. What's his name with three? I know his name, but we weren't going to say it. But he only had three teeth, looked like a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
His grandma owned a porn shop.
Okay.
Is what I believe he told everybody.
But, no, that's the way you're supposed to do it. I think she's doing the right thing. She's doing what Nick's wife is doing. She's doing what Lady Rackets is doing. That's great. Nick's got five kids, you know, he's a lawyer, and she's basically the stay-at-home mom. She takes care of the kids, and she loves it. She loves that kind of work.
I think that's
supposed to work out. This, you're getting brainwashed by feminism. This strong, independent women shit.
I'm not talking about
Strong, independent women shit is what's ruining women.
What I'm saying, confused with go out and make my money. No, I'm talking about go out and do your fun that you wouldn't have with the kids. Like, go backpacking, you know.
You can do that with the kids.
I tell you, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, it's a lot harder, but you do it as a family.
Well, I mean, you have to wait for them to get older, and even then, there's limitations. Like, when you're...
And you have grandparents. You have grandparents. You take them to the grandparents.
I think it's better because...
You take it to the grandparents.
Your life revolves so much around... The kids but being your identity.
But that's by the time point.
They move out, then
that's the
a
point.
Lot of couples break up.
That's
that.
The point, though. You're really supposed to point. Be together for the children. You have the family. Why most men want a family. So well, that's why they have the kid. You have the wife, you have the kids, and then you devote, you know, you basically, you know, you have your wife. Now, some guys don't want to do that. Some people don't, but... But most people originally, like the main thing, was they wanted to have a family. They wanted to have a wife and kids. They wanted to take care of
a family. But
that's what most people wanted
to
do.
Be in love with the person I'm going to be with after the fact, because I know me and them share enough interest that.
That's why you date first.
Kids.
That's why you do dating. That's why you do your dating first.
Yeah, you do your dating first.
You do your dating first to get to know each other. And then, yes, that's why, you know, that's how it works. That's how all this works. You do your dating. And if you do your dating, your courtship, then you move in. Then you go ahead and get married. You have the kids. That's how you do it.
Alright.
I mean, look, you gotta look at Nick Rikita's family. He's in his 40s. He's got 5 kids. They're still together. They've been together for a very, very long time. They met in either high school or college.
I wouldn't even see the issue where they wouldn't be together.
They're still together. They've got that family. She is traditional to a fault. She even tries to keep herself looking good. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's, yeah, she's, it's very, very good.
You should try to make yourself look good.
Yeah.
That's not.
Yeah, but, I mean, again,
that's not a hateful thing. That's, why do you think guys stick around?
Right.
Because they're attracted.
Well, we're going to go ahead and read the last of the articles. Then we're going to do a 30-minute. And after we do the 30-minute, we're doing a little bit of being a dick because it's getting a lot of hits on YouTube, MGTOW.TV. So we're going to do part 2 of that. But we're going to read the chats. We're going to do a small open mic, and then we'll be doing the being a dick. So, all right. I'm going to read... Kaiser Venom writes, basically, he gives me a tweet from Bob Saget. I get vaccinated 5 to 6 times a day, and I feel great. July 31st, 2021. Kaiser Venom. Anyhow, I'll be playing... Okay, that's fine. Invader Tech. Beyond KFC is real. I'll stick to real chicken. Kaiser Venom. Bruh, my game crashed.
Oh.
Well, shit.
Well, remember the other day, too, with the... We went to Popeye's.
Oh, yeah.
Used to, a 3-strip would be about, what, 4-something, maybe 5
mm-hmm.
to $6. Got that and a drink. They wanted $16. I said, forget this, and we drove off. And we ended up getting a pizza in Little Rock for $13. A whole medium for 13. You got a large for, I think, what, 18 or so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know,
16.
Really watch.
I spent 16, about 15 or 16. No, that pizza was $15, dude. That pizza was fucking cheap.
Well,
I was surprised.
You got a good deal then.
Yeah, I did. And Invader Tech says, so Russia's doing Siberia 2.0. Yep. All right, and with that, we're going to go ahead and close up the show. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll be back next Sunday with the Grim Articles, but I'll be doing the Games and Rants tomorrow, so don't worry about that. And we're going to do some...
Are you changing the location of where it's getting posted, or...
It's posted the same... It doesn't go on YouTube. We've never been on YouTube.
Will be on.
No. Being a dick won't even be on YouTube.
Yeah,
that's all in BitChute and MGTOW.TV is our main place. I figured
if they dropped you, you weren't able to.
I still have a channel, but it's different. Anyway, I made another channel.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's it, guys, and we are out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.